We learned a lot of things from that video. One thing we learned is some people at Crossroads have no business trying to dance. Absolutely no business at all. We're talking about reproduction today. So let's pray before we go any further. God, I'm thankful for the ability to talk about things that that are inspiring. At least it's inspiring to me. Your plan of reproducing yourself and reproducing the spirit that was in Jesus all across the globe is an amazing thing. So I pray that you'd help my words to articulate the values of your heart. And I pray these things according to the character that I see in Jesus. Amen. You know, part of the reason why we're able to do more food is because we're trying to reproduce ourselves. Crossroads is not just with the additional numbers of people who are coming here, but also reproducing ourselves with different sites, such as in Mason, to have a bigger impact. And this is important to understand, is that healthy things reproduce themselves. Healthy things naturally reproduce itself. Healthy strands of wheat will naturally bear fruit, will naturally bear something of seeds, and will naturally reproduce itself. As we end our series on growth here today, remember the very first week we talked about vision. If you want to grow, you must start with a vision of what you want to grow into. And so a farmer or somebody who has a plot of ground has a vision for corn or a vision for rose trees, rose buds or rose bushes, has a vision for something. You have to know, what is it do I want to grow into? And I said the first week that I want to grow into being like Jesus, having his spirit, his attributes. The fruit of the spirit is called in the Bible: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that's the vision, at least for me. I don't know what you want to grow into, but you have to know, what is it do I want to grow into? And then you plant seeds. You put things under the ground. You do things that hopefully later on will result in what you're trying to grow to. And then you allow God to prune you, to cut things away. And while you allow him to prune you and cut things away, you're in a waiting posture, which we talked about last week, waiting on the Lord, waiting for seeds to pop up out of the ground, waiting for the pruning to have its effect to bear more fruit. And today we're talking about reproducing. Everything that is healthy reproduces. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. What comes first, the fruit or the seed? What comes first? There's the fruit, and inside of all the fruit, there is then a seed. A seed that drops and goes through the whole process again to produce fruit. All of us in here are reproducing something. If you happen to have kids and your kids are annoying, you're probably reproducing yourself in your kids. You're probably annoying. If you're around other people, you're probably finding that you're around people who are like you, or you're like the people around us, because either you're reproducing yourself in the values of your friends, or like attracts like, or friends are reproducing themselves in you. We naturally reproduce who we are. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you teach. It's who you are. We say what we think. We teach what we believe. But you reproduce who you are. If I gave you a chunk of bark, very few people would know what tree came from the bark, or what bark came from the tree. You wouldn't be able to identify a tree by its bark. If I gave you a leaf, very few of us would be able to identify the tree based on the leaf. If I gave you an orange leaf or an apple tree leaf, few of us would be able to tell the difference. But if I gave you an orange, you'd say, oh, an orange tree. That's where it came from. Or a fruit. An apple. That came from an apple tree. This is why Jesus said this one time in the book of Luke chapter 6. He said, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. If you want to know who you are, look at what you are producing. It's not what you say. It's not what you think. It's not what you teach. You are what you reproduce. Who you are naturally gets reproduced. I was over in India recently and got to visit the home of Mother Teresa. Amazing. And Mother Teresa reproduced herself. She reproduced herself. We still talk about her today, even though none of us have probably ever met her, but yet she has reproduced herself and her values all across the world. And when I went to her home, I interacted with, and there's still sisters there who she reproduced, who she brought into the Sisters of Charity and built into them. They're still there. This whole mission of being with the destitute and dying still happens because of her seed, because of her fruit. She reproduced who she was. A couple things grabbed me. One of them was her bedroom. inside of her bedroom. I took this little picture here, just as it was when she left it. This is half her bedroom. There's a little desk on the other side. But I just was really struck by this because there's a little wardrobe there. And her little wardrobe, that's her closet. She could put all of her clothing in that closet or that little wardrobe. Most of us, we need like a separate house to contain all of our clothes, you know. And I was really struck by this because there was a picture on there that was there to pump her up and motivate her. Some of us had on our walls, if you were a kid or you are a kid, maybe you have athletes on your walls to fire you up. When I was a kid, I had Farrah Fawcett Majors on a wall to fire me up and a little orange bikini thing, you know, kind of fire me up in some unhealthy ways. But here she has a picture of a woman that went before her and is saying, and this is her writing, "My vocation is love." This woman got reproduced to Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is reproducing it. This is who she is. "My vocation is love. That's what I do. I reproduce myself." Now, I'm going to talk today about something that is applicable to all of us, because all of us are naturally reproducing who we are. But I want to really dive into some of us in here who can relate to this more than others. Crossroads is a place for everybody. Doesn't matter what your current value system is, what your current spiritual orientation is. We're excited you're here. But every once in a while, there's a topic that is going to be much more relevant for somebody who says, yeah, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want Jesus' love and values, his spirit going and coursing through my veins. And if that's not where you are, if you're a seeker, you're trying to figure out what you believe about certain things, hey, glad you're here, but just understand, I'm going to really come hard at those of us who are claiming to be a specific type of tree and ask us whether or not we actually have the fruit to go with that tree. I'll never live in India. I'll never start a home for the destitute and dying. I'll never be, you know, a Catholic nun. I in many ways, I can't relate to that at all, but I can relate to Mother Teresa because I am reproducing myself. I am doing that. I am strategically building into people. I am seeing my values either intentionally or accidentally popping into people's lives, and I can do that. I can decide to lay my life down and love and build into people in America within my current lifestyle. And you can too. You say what you think, you teach what you believe, but you reproduce who you are. You say what you think, you teach what you believe, but you reproduce who you are. It naturally comes out. Now, to illustrate that, I want to look at the book of Mark chapter 11, where we see how Jesus reproduced himself and what he felt about people who weren't reproducing himself or weren't reproducing in a healthy way. Here's what it says in the book of Mark chapter 11. "Now, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry." He got hungry. Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. That's the holistic perspective that we see of Jesus and what he says of himself. So he gets hungry. He's hungry. "And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs." He's hungry, and it says, as they were leaving. Jesus had 12 people around him because he was trying to reproduce himself in these 12. In fact, these 12, one of them was a dud. One of them didn't reproduce anything healthy at all. But the other 11, when he left, continued to reproduce themselves, and that's why on the other side of the planet, 2,000 years later, we and others are gathered here right now. So he's interacting with people because he's planting his seed inside of people's lives, and it's bearing fruit. And he sees a tree that's in leaf, and he's hungry. And he said, "Oh man, I didn't know that this was the season for figs. There shouldn't be any fig trees out right now. But nonetheless, I see one over there in the distance that has leaves on it. And if it's got leaves on it, you should expect to see figs or at least something budding that you can gnaw on. Perhaps it was in the shade that made a unique climate thing. Or perhaps it was something with a soil content. Whatever the reason, there is a fig tree with leaves all over it. He can't wait to go get some figs. And as he goes over there, he realizes there's no figs on it. And so here's what happens. "Then he said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard him say it." It's almost like Jesus is starting to lose his mind. He's now speaking to trees. He says to trees, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. He basically curses the tree. It's not I'm not at my best when I'm cursing inanimate objects. That's generally not a healthy thing for me. I will curse hammers when they mysteriously hit my thumb. I'm always intrigued as to why that would happen, but I'll curse a hammer. Yesterday morning, I went to get some Windex underneath the kitchen sink, and I pulled it open. All of a sudden, there's like a puddle of water at the bottom of the ledge in that kitchen sink. I'm going, crap, you know, like, the stupid cheap hoses that are with the Delta faucets leak too often. I replace them about every 2 years. It's starting to leak again, so I got to get down my hands and knees, pull out all the cleaning products, dap up all the stuff, get on my, you know, you get in your back and your legs are kind of up because of that little like lip shelf thing there. I'm trying to snake my hands up and try to find, and I'm cursing this the whole time because this thing is not working right. Things that I just replaced 2 years ago are not supposed to leak. Hammers are not supposed to hit my thumb. It's just not supposed to happen. And Jesus is cursing a tree that has leaves on it because trees that have leaves are supposed to have fruit. Trees that have leaves are supposed to have fruit. There's a lot of us who, we look like we're spiritually together, but we have no fruit. You're very leafy. You look great. You really do. You look great. You know, you look like got clothes looking good. You're going to the right places, not going the wrong way. You look good, but yet is there fruit? Is there something that's tasty about your life? Is there the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that being reproduced in other people, or are you just looking spiritual? Are you just looking moral? Are you just looking good? Jesus curses when he sees leaves without fruit. He doesn't want us to be leafy. He wants us to be fruity. And he's building into these people, these disciples, and wanting to build into us as well because he wants to reproduce himself. He creates what's called Christians. You know, to be called a Christian in the first century was actually a derogatory term. It meant little Christ. It was a derogatory term. Like if anyone's ever called you something and preceded it with the word little, you haven't liked it. You know, aren't you little know-it-all? Aren't you little goody-two-shoes? Oh, aren't you little miss can't be wrong? Aren't you, you know, what song is that? Who sings that song? Little miss can't be wrong? You know what I'm saying? All right, whatever. You know, if you ever hear someone say, aren't you little, it's they don't mean it positively. I'll tell you, there's a person who laid his life down for me who planted his seed in me. His name is Denny. He reproduced himself. He has way more value to me than Mother Teresa will ever have to me. It's because he laid his life down and he spoke with me every week for breakfast at Dick's Diner in Pittsburgh, ongoing, to help me understand who Jesus was in relationship with Jesus instead of a relationship with a religion. Totally changed my orientation, changed my life. And one time somebody called me a little Denny because Denny had some annoying features about him, or he was a very hard driver and someone didn't like him. And they heard me speak one day and they thought that I reminded them of him. And they said, weren't you a little Denny? Initially, I was like, and I thought, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that. And this is what the early Christ followers were like. They said, weren't you a little Christ? And they thought, I'll take that. If you're going to tell me that I'm a little budding Jesus, that I am growing in him because his seed is reproducing inside of me, we'll take that every day. And Jesus gets upset because there's no fruit that is the luscious stuff, and there is no ability for that thing to reproduce itself. It's in the fruit that the seed is. It's in the fruit that the seed comes out and is able to go in the ground to produce more fruit. So then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. And on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. He's going to Jerusalem. There's a high holy day, which is where we get the word holiday. There's a high holy day, and Jews from all around the world are converging on Jerusalem because this is the one centralized place of worship, the temple. And in the temple, there were various places that some people could go and some people couldn't go. There was the innermost, inner holy sanctum, the Holy of Holies. There were different objects around that based on your role or your standing, you could partake of those objects or be around those objects. It's kind of an extravagant thing. But on the outermost part of the temple, there's what was called the Court of the Gentiles, which is called the Court of the Gentiles because even Gentiles who were not Jews, who were not adhering to the God of the Old Testament scriptures, could come and observe what was happening and somehow be a part of the action. It's similar to maybe the atrium at Crossroads or a hallway at Crossroads when we rent a school. It's sort of the place where you can come in and check things out. And Jesus, when he comes into this place, he notices that as people are exchanging their currency, because if you were a Jew that lived in a foreign land that had foreign currency, you needed to exchange your currency for Jewish currency because it was part of the offering system. And as they're trying to get animals to sacrifice, there's not just people who are there who are doing a service by exchanging money, but they're charging exorbitant fees and they're not trying to help people connect with God. They're not trying to facilitate worship. They're actually trying to make money. They're there to make money, and yet this is the very place where people are supposed to prepare their hearts and where outsiders can come in and observe. Seekers can see what's happening. And Jesus sees this, and he goes ballistic. He starts cursing tables. He starts cursing people who are making money behind tables. By the way, this is one of the reasons why in 14 years of Crossroads history, we have never sold anything on our premises in an atrium and never will. We'll never do that because we challenge all of us to give. Freely you've received, freely give. That's an entirely different thing to the very first thing you see is the idea of some capitalistic spiritual enterprise trying to hawk wares. We just won't do that. We won't do that because we don't believe it prepares the heart when you come in here. And it also sends an awful message for those of us who are first-timers and already naturally assume that big churches are money grubbers and trying to make money anyway. We just won't do that. And it's not because it's a smart decision. It's because this is when Jesus gets really mad. We don't want to make Jesus mad. We just don't want to do that at all. So he's doing this because this is hurting seekers from possibly being reproduced into full lovers of God. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you've made it a den of robbers. Is it not written that the temple should be from all people groups to be able to come and experience and be grown and be stretched and be challenged? A house of prayer for all nations, all people. But yet, people can't come and seek here. They have to come and exchange and give you money. This is not a profit-making enterprise. This is a spiritual enterprise to reproduce God's values, and you have made it a den of robbers. You've made it a den of capitalism, which is a great way to build a country's economy, an awful way to build a church's spiritual growth. He is upset. He is entirely ticked. Verse 19, the chief priests and the teachers of the law who've been seeing this, who've been approving of this, who haven't done anything against this, perhaps their hand is in the till, they heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. No secret that if you want to become a martyr and you want your movement to spread, allow yourself to be killed, allow yourself to become a martyr. And if you do become a martyr, then who you are naturally gets reproduced. Your anti-establishment mentality will naturally be reproduced. Your anti-taxes will be naturally reproduced. Your anti-this, your whatever it is will naturally be reproduced. Jesus wasn't a martyr who just died for an idea, but he got killed. It says here, the people came against him and put him in the ground. And Jesus foretold this in a very interesting way in the book of John chapter 12. When he says this, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus didn't have a death wish. He did not. In fact, we have an image of him before he was arrested to be finally killed, of him saying to God, I don't want this to happen. He did not have a death wish. What he did is he naturally lived his values, the values of love and selflessness, and it resulted in him dying. And that seed of him dying, the power of that is what has reproduced people like me right now. And part of the reason why you might say that you believe in Jesus and have received him, but yet you can't see how you've reproduced yourself in anybody, is you're still trying to protect your life. You have to allow yourself to die, not necessarily to be physically dead, that's going to happen someday, but you must say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my image. It's about God. It's about what Jesus is doing in me, and I reproduce that example of not valuing my life or my image and allowing the natural course to happen, but I will lay my life down, and I will plant myself, and I will allow my seed, whatever God is doing in me, to reproduce itself wherever it needs to go. That is the power of what Jesus has done. It's why it's swept across the globe, still sweeping across the globe. That's why all of us are here today, even if we haven't received that or lined up with that yet. It's because of the power of Jesus' life that led him to be dead, led him to die a death that I deserve. I am the one who deserves to die. I'm the one who, out of rebelliousness, deserves to die. But Jesus says, no, I will die an eternal death. I will satisfy God's justice for you, Brian's home. That's what love is. That's what kindness is. That's what patience is. That's what gentleness is. Amazing. So in the morning, they went along, and they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So a little delayed reaction, this cursing, ends up that this thing is dead. When we're not bearing fruit, we're in the process of dying anyway, just that it doesn't look like it yet. And you can look leafy, but all the while, something is wrong with the root system. It always starts with the roots. No one can see the roots, but it's from the roots where life comes, and it's from the roots where death comes. And Jesus leverages the fact that this fig tree doesn't have any fruit to drive into people like my mind, Brian, you must have fruit in your life, and you must be reproducing yourself. There must be people who can point to your life and say, because of you, I know Jesus. Because of you, I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not trying to get people to think like me. I'm not trying to get people to vote like me. I could care less if anyone votes like me. I'm not trying to get people to spend money like me. That doesn't matter. I'm not trying to win a debate. In fact, if I do debate, I lose them quite frequently. This is not about whose way is right way, who has the best arguments. It's this. When I see somebody going through a hard time, I say, if they had the fruit of Jesus in their life, they would be able to endure. When I see somebody who is laid off, somebody who has cancer, somebody who's trying to make sense of life, I say, it is only through Jesus' life in me that I have any sense of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want those things in everybody's life I know right now. And I don't know how you can vote that gets those things. I don't know what book on the bestseller list you can get those things. I want everybody I know to have those things. And the only way I've ever seen to get those things is to get Jesus. That's what it means to reproduce yourself. And when you have this burn to see people blessed, to see people have that kind of life, there are some natural things you do because you're a fruit-bearing person. Natural things happen. Case in point, example. 10 days or so ago, I was sitting in a meeting getting ready for what's going to happen here on the weekend, and somebody brought up in the meeting, said, hey, folks, just so you know, 6:15 service is going to be really thin this week because it's Halloween. People will be going like trick-or-treating and having sugar highs and everything like that. By the way, if you came late, be great if you came on time. Try that sometime. It'd be awesome if you came on time. And I'll say it again. Hey, you're not going to have any problem finding a parking spot or a seat at the Saturday night services, and they're great services. Think about that. They really are. They're really awesome. But I'm sitting there thinking, some people are going, oh, man, going to be a thin crowd, 6:15, because it's kind of a bummer when you come in and there's no one in the room. You kind of like the energy. You know what I'm saying? Am I right? That's part of why you like come to 10 o'clock or 11:45. There's a bit more energy in here. And so some people are like, oh man, it won't be as naturally energetic. That's not what I thought of. I initially immediately thought of, crap, that messes up my Halloween plans. That means I got to work. And every year since I've been in Cincinnati, for the most part, we take the fire pit, we take it out front. We stoke up a fire and we get a cooler with beverages and we hang around and we jam candy in kids' faces when they come, make them fatter and make their teeth rot. And we all, it's a one time in Cincinnati when everyone comes out from behind their television and actually comes out and relates with one another. I'm like, gosh, I'm not going to be able to do it. And then I have even a worse image. Then I thought, oh my goodness, everybody who comes to 6:15 service is not going to be at their house, and there's going to be a bunch of turned off lights, and kids are going to hate everybody who comes to Crossroads. This is not a good idea at all. And also, I said, I can do something about this. We'll just cancel service. So we just canceled the service. Actually, I got some feedback from other leaders. This is a good idea. And by the way, it's another good reason to register on crossroads.net. We can give you instantaneous news that we just make in snap time. So we decided to cancel that. And some people didn't like that, and I respect that because Halloween has some shaky origins and some people have some convictions. And it's refreshing when anybody has convictions in today's society any longer. That's just cool. But at the same time, I have a conviction that I don't want to be one of those annoying people whose lights are off, the kids don't like on the street. Let me tell you, when I was trick-or-treating, if I came to your house and you weren't there and you had your lights off, I would egg you. And even worse, if you decide to do that and you turn your lights off and you don't give kids any candy, the last thing you want to do is put a basket out there with Bible tracts. There is a special place in hell reserved for people who give Bible tracts instead of candy on Halloween. I'm just telling you, made me mad. And no kid, never, ever, ever, when I was a kid, never, ever, ever, did I get a little Bible tract and go, oh boy, this is an act of love. Boy, do I love this. I love the hearts. Love the heart, but Bible tract or candy? Candy tells me you love me, not a Bible tract. That's what I'm saying. So I just had this image like, man, I'm not going to be able to talk with my neighbors, and maybe Jesus will come up with my neighbors, and there's going to be hundreds of people who are not going to be in their neighborhoods when Jesus, I believe, will not be in another religious organization that time. He would be hanging out with normal people. That's what he would be doing. So we pulled our stuff out. We had some neighbors that we haven't talked for a while. I heard one of the funniest Kentucky jokes I've ever heard. Totally inappropriate, cannot tell it. And I kind of like that too. I like when I'm around normal people, and I hear something that I really shouldn't laugh at, but I can't help but laugh at it. I feel like in those moments, honestly, I feel like I'm in the dirt. I feel like I'm being used by God. I feel like there could be some reproduction here. I feel like I'm doing the kinds of things and with the kind of people that Jesus was. He said, I've not come for the healthy. I've come for the sick. And actually he said that, he was being sarcastic. He's like, you think you're healthy just because you go to church or you're a religious person? No. I've come for people who recognize that they have needs. Colossians 4:5 is a theme verse of mine. It says this, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most. Make the most of every opportunity on the weekend. Make the most of every opportunity at Halloween. Make the most. Whenever there's an opportunity for me to be around people who I want them to have the seed of Jesus, I want that to happen. I want that. I want to see the values of Jesus reproduced. And if there's anything of Jesus that's in me that could somehow get to somebody else, I want that because I want that for them. I want that for you. I want that for you. I have up here 90. These are the stories of everybody who got baptized at the last Wednesday service. 94 people got baptized at the last Wednesday service, meaning 94 people said, I want to die to my old self. I want to die to my old self. I'm going in the watery grave, leaving behind, and I'm coming back up to new life in Jesus, new life with Jesus. And amazing. I mean, every age, every color, every socioeconomic background, every anything. It was a wide, beautiful tapestry of all different types of peoples. And before you do that, you have to kind of tell us your story. Here's a couple of these. It's pretty cool. I've been coming off and on to Crossroads for a couple of years now, but within the past 2 months, I have finally realized that I need him now more than ever. I walked out on my boyfriend of 4 years, which I have been wanting to do for a while now, but I couldn't find the strength to do it. Through coming to church regularly on Saturdays, I have Saturdays. Get that? Saturdays. See, God does move in greater degrees on Saturdays. I have found my strength in Jesus. My newfound relationship with Jesus has become the most important relationship in my life. Another one. I've been through some of the darkest moments of my life since I decided to be baptized. I've had to make the decision to close down my business as a result of slower times. This has taken a huge toll on my emotional life, as well as making things stressful for my family. I'm struggling through some financial hardships, some my own fault, and a lot of medical expense as well, but I am actually at peace. Not all the time, but most of the time. Peace, why? Because that's the fruit of Jesus. Love, joy, peace. Sure, I have a couple of breakdowns, but my identity is not in my business. It is who I am as a Christ follower, and I know that everything happens for a reason. That reason may not be clear at this time, but I will be shown in God's time. I want to be a friend to others. I didn't just pick two of the best ones. I'll just do a little story roulette. Boom. Let's see what this one is. I regularly attend 12-step meetings that require me to daily see my need for forgiveness, growth, and healing. I've been in recovery for 25 years, and my walk only deepens and is more precious, like a masterpiece that takes a lifetime. I do not want to live without my Savior. There is nothing on this planet worth sticking around for. It's just the garbage. Come on, are you kidding me? I mean, I could go on. Oh, this is one of the best perks of my job. I get to read every single one of these. Before that, this is Jesus' life. This is Jesus' fruit. This is who Jesus was, transcending all times and geographical barriers, being planted inside of people. So what do you have to do if you know Jesus and you want to reproduce yourself? Just three things to think about. Number one is attitude. What is the attitude? I know sometimes people think, man, I'm getting persecuted because I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. No, you're getting persecuted because you're annoying. That's why you're getting persecuted. People are saying bad things to you because you're an annoying person. They don't like your bumper stickers. They don't like what hangs on your cubicle. They don't like your judgmental ideas. They don't like your superiority complex. You know, if you were in a Muslim country, they would persecute you there too. I mean, it's just you have to ask, did Jesus get persecuted by the religious people or by the normal people? It was the religious people who was pushing their boundaries. I tell you, I don't want to persecute anybody who's loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled. Do you? My attitude, I have to ask, if I don't find that people want to be around me, is it that because I don't have the fruit of Jesus coming in my life? What is my attitude? Secondly, my actions. What are my actions? Denny gave me actions of getting with me to help me understand who Jesus was. His actions have been reproduced in me. I have actions of Reed Carpenter that were reproduced in me. The first person helped me see what a godly leader was who has a vision for a city. He had that vision for Pittsburgh, and I've had his values reproduced to me in some of his ways to have the same kind of perspective for Cincinnati. His actions, what he's done, have becoming reproduced inside of me. There's actions I do to reproduce myself and others. Whether it's strategically choosing the first day I come to Cincinnati to find a place where normal guys who don't go to church, where I can be genuine friendships with them, and perhaps the seed of Jesus we planted in them. I have always had that as a major priority in my life. I always have on my calendar blocks of time where I'm interacting with guys and trying to help them understand who Jesus is. I have a brand new group that's starting up with some guys who don't go to Crossroads or far from God. They actually want to do that. And by the way, it's not because I'm a pastor or I'm paid to do that. Plenty of pastors are paid to do that and don't do that. It's because I naturally want that to happen. I have a little mirror on the top right-hand corner of my mirror. There's a group of names. Denny taught me to do this. I've always had names in the top right-hand corner of my mirror of people who are not an object of a strategy, but people who I love very dearly, and I want them to have love, joy, peace. I want that, and so I pray for them. It's called my pace list. I pray for them as I take my toothpaste and brush my teeth. I pray for them, and then every once in a while, actually fairly frequently, when you do this, they come to receive Jesus, and then they get crossed off, and I add some new people up there. What are the actions that are enabling or making possible that your fruit, that who you really are, will be reproduced in other lives? And then finally, words. Words. There comes a time when you have to actually speak. If I'm driving down the road and I see you picking up trash on the side of the road, you might be an environmentalist, that's why you might be doing it, but actually I'm going to assume that you're doing community service for a DUI you just got busted with. You know, and sometimes people say, well, I just let my life speak. Okay, well, people are going to assume all kinds of things unless at some point you don't actually speak At some point, you don't actually say, here's why I am the way I am. I had this happen in my life, and I've received who Jesus is. I'm trying to grow in that. And this is an invitation that's open to anybody. However you say that, however that happens, this is a thing that must happen. I must actually speak words. I must actually give a story to this. I had an amazing opportunity recently to get with a guy who was agnostic and got with him and was talking with him, and just some things clicked. It was just one of those things where God had been doing so many things in him. Actually, he had other people who were being reproduced inside of him, and I was sort of just the end guy at the very end and had an interaction with him and said, well, right now, you could receive Jesus right now. And I gave him some ideas of how to do that and things to pray, and I said, I'll just be here with you. God knows the words of your heart. He knows the attitude. All he wants to know is, do you want to make room and receive him and allow his seed to be planted in you? You receive Christ. And sometimes when someone does that, I've got to kind of say something afterwards like, now, you might not feel all that differently right now. Don't cause that to shake your faith. Sometimes God reveals himself differently to different people. Sometimes you have to say that. In this situation, though, there was an immediate and visceral change that came over the guy. He just, honestly, it happens sometimes. You just, they literally look different. They act different. There's a lightness to the step. And he actually had to stop because he was shaking. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And so walking out, and I bumped into a friend of mine. His name was Molly. And I looked at this guy. I said, hey, most important thing is being able to speak what just happened to you right now. Here's your first chance. Tell her what just happened. And I said, I just received Christ. It was the first time. Because you got to get in the habit of planting your seed. Because everybody's doing good things. Just because you're a do-gooder doesn't mean that you're planting seeds. I want to reproduce myself. I want to dummy-proof it. And I want people to have who Jesus has. I want you to have the power and the blessing of having Jesus if you've never had him before, maybe right now, maybe from something right now that's kind of striking you. I want you to have the power to know that somebody else's eternity is different because of you. They're different because of you. Here's what we're going to do right now. We'll take out your program, or if you don't have a program or don't have a pen, you can do this in your own mind right now. We're going to do some exercises right now for the next 10, 15 minutes or so. And here's the first one we're going to do. I want you to take your name, and I just want you to write your name down. Write your name. And I want you to draw a line above your name, like pointing up. And what you're going to do there is, while we reflect, I want you to write the person that's reproduced themselves in you. If there's anything positive happening to you spiritually right now, you're here not because of a marketing campaign, because you had nothing better to do. There's somebody who's reproduced themselves in you or has intrigued you. There's somebody on your upline. I want you to write down who it is that has been reproducing you, who those people are. And then I want you to take on the down line. I want you to write in the down line. I want you to write below you people who are writing your name right now as being on the upline. Who is it that you've reproduced? Who is it that says right now, it's because of you that I understand how to love people? It's because of you that I understand who Jesus is. It's because of you that I understand self-control. It's because of you. And what you say, who is it? Who right now is on your upline who's reproduced you? And who would say that you have reproduced them? So God, in this moment right now of clarity, quicken our minds right now.